Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
So today I'll be sharing very briefly with you on the supernatural realm, all right? Let's start our reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to consider just one verse before I move on. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and from verse 1. Just one verse in that scripture. Hallelujah. This is the third time I am coming to you. For in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be what? Established. Can you see that scripture? Can you see that scripture? Say, so we don't establish doctrine. When somebody says something is true biblically, we must look for at least minimum of two witnesses who have had that experience or that encounter or that teaching. All right? Or at least three. If you get four, you are good. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. Now, stay with me. Because I might be doing a little teaching. Just maybe a little. Somebody said, sorry, are you a teacher or are you a preacher? I said, I don't know. It's the question I'm still asking. Some people don't even know I can sing. All they do is, oh, it's a pastor. So whatever side of the elephant you see is yours. The word witness, there's the word matus. It means martyr. To be a martyr. Somebody who dies by reason of what he knows and he has stood for. A martyr. Not someone that dies, say he's dying for Nigeria. I said, somebody. Well, it could be in that sense, but I'm not interested in that this morning. I've decided to mind my business. This is the Spirit of God saying that before something can be established in the spirit realm, we need minimum of two or three martyrs. Martyrs. Matus. Not ordinary witnesses. People who are willing to die. Or who have died in their heart as it relates to that truth. This scripture explains and establishes the reason why we all know certain things in the Bible, but they don't work for us. Please, stay awake. This scripture establishes the reason why many people know certain scriptural verse. They know that in him was life and the life was the light of men. They know that whoever comes to Jesus becomes the righteousness of God, but they still struggle with their identity in Christ. I'm going somewhere with this because I'm talking about the supernatural realm. I just want to look at one aspect of that dimension. Please, as I'm sharing with you, you may want to. Am I clear at the back or do you have echoes? I have some echoes here. So, all right. So you may want to take note of certain things. If you're having a situation in your family that has defied your prayers, look for two or three witnesses in your family that you can stand together. To be a martyr is revelation based. It's not just somebody. You don't need to die to be a martyr. You're already dead. Because you know any day death comes, that's it. The reason why certain things cannot be established is because of this principle I'm sharing with you. He said at the mouth or at the confession of at least two or three witnesses. Do you now see one of the primary purposes of marriage? It's in that scripture. One of the primary purposes of marriage, so that one can chase 1,000 and two can chase. I would have thought that two would chase 2,000. So that is not even, it has gone beyond arithmetic progression. Is it even geometric? I think it's worse. It's exponential. So that means when two people come together, their capacity multiplies by 5. One person becomes multiplied by 5. Because when one would have chased 1,000, and that means if you come together, if you split that 10,000 into 2, that each of them producing a capacity of 5,000. That's how I know that when you grow in grace to a level, there are prayers you pray, the minimum angels you will have will be 5,000. One person. But leave that one because I don't have time to establish that one now. Tell your neighbor, capacity is everything. There are people that by reason of their destiny, they are not meant to walk alone. If you're an Elijah, most likely you walk alone. Alright? But if you're a Peter, you must have a John. If you're a David or Jonathan, you should have a Jonathan. So you can draw principles and learning from the life of men, but you must understand that which is unique to you. Please, are you with me so far? I'm going somewhere. One of the things that works against this principle is fleshly discernment. Please note what I'm saying. Note it. I'm living in the same house with Pastor David. But let's assume that Pastor David is not even a pastor. I'm a pastor. Pastor David doesn't even go to church, but he joins online service somewhere in Canada, but he's in Nigeria because his goal is to get to Canada. So he's trying to familiarize with the way they do things online. So anytime I say, let's go to church, you say, no, I'll join online service. Okay. If Pastor David has a problem, depending on the kind of problem he has, I may or may not be able to help him. Because if the problem that he's going through was established on 2 or 3 witnesses from the other side. Hello? Are you with me now? If that problem was established on a foundation of 2 or 3, maybe many years ago, I don't have a quorum to invalidate what has been done. So my prayers can help him manage the crisis, but it can't take the problem away. So if Pastor David fails to discern the person living in the same house with him as a prophet, he sees him as a Christian brother, he will not be able to receive the allocation of a prophet. Because what Jesus taught us is that unless you receive a prophet, in the name of a prophet, you cannot get what comes from him. You cannot get his reward. If you receive him as a pastor, you will get a pastoral reward. If you receive him as a righteous man, but if you receive him as your friend, your best friend, good for you. The challenge is most prophets have a lot of physical human deficiency. So when you get close to them, the first thing you interact with is their human nature. Elijah likes good things, but he doesn't talk. But the day a woman built a house for him, he stayed inside. So he has been suffering for a long time because he's proud. He likes to pride himself in his anointing. So he has been suffering. So if you go close to an Elijah and you notice that he's very temperamental, he doesn't say something twice. He looks at you and says, "Is something wrong with you?" Say, "Ah." He says it once. The second time, he will ask you, "Is something wrong with you?" Say, "Ah." But you just said this. He says, "Is something wrong with you?" Then he leaves that room, goes for a meeting. The presence of the Lord, he said, "The Lord before whom I stand." He said, how is God managing this man? Because he said, I can't deal. You come face to face with their humanity. You come to the house, you see him wearing singlet. But your perception of him is, "Holy Makari Adibasaya. This glorious, glorious servant. I wish I can be living in the same house with Pastor Adibui." I was watching a video. I have that video of his 80th birthday. I always watch it. Anytime I get bored, I put it on my status. They brought a cake to Baba Adibue, but they didn't place the cake well. And they were singing for Baba. I was saying, "Arrange that cake well." "Don't let my cake fall down. You people have tried. You brought cake. You want the cake to fall down again." And they were singing for him. You know, there was that lady, that girl, that's Alashe Yori or some, that girl, that came to sing. Baba was dancing, but he was saying, "So, but somewhere in your mind, Baba doesn't eat." You know, you can easily get that feeling that Baba is always fasting. Yeah? But that one is not in your own dictionary. It's people like Baba. So you are greeted with his humanity. If you are not careful, you will not be able to receive of him. And that's why 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that henceforth we know no man after the flesh. Starting with Jesus. That even if the apostles that walked with him physically, all the thoughts that they had about him when he was alive here, they will be stranded. Because this Jesus is not that one again. This one is glorified. This one is a high priest now. You know what it means to be a high priest? Huh? He can go into the corners where others in the tabernacles of heaven cannot enter. He will go there and legislate for somebody's freedom. He is the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. On the other hand, he's also the high priest. So he's praying to himself and says, "Show Tunde mercy." Then he will say, "Mercy, mercy." Then the angel will take the scroll. "It has been decreed in the court of heaven that a second chance has been given to Tunde." Come on, say amen, somebody. When you pray and you get answers, those are the transactions that happen. It's just like you going to the bank and presenting your check. They give you your money, but certain things happen before they could give you that money. They verified your signature. They checked the check date, check amount. They checked whether you are even the human being you claim to be. They check your previous transactions. Is your signature regular? They look at so many things. It's your account. But they still check. So all you know is that I'm here to collect my money. But certain transactions in the tabernacle, the holiest of all, are taking place. And that's what happened. And that's why sometimes when you say, I prayed, nothing has happened. Excuse me, they are signing check inside that place. You have to be patient. I hope you know, theoretically, that when God said, when the scripture says in the book of Genesis chapter 1, the evening and the morning was the first day. That's an equivalent of 1,000 years by human timing. Okay, leave it. It's okay, don't worry. If you don't get it, don't worry. So what you are reading is a summary because the story is finished. All right. God allowed time happen to his spoken word. He allowed time interact with the word he has spoken. And that is why you cannot stop praying. That's why you cannot give up praying. Because even God is busy on your matter. Come on, say he's busy. You can pray and it takes, he says yes on the first day. But in human calculation, that yes is 21 days of prayer for Daniel. 21 days. Please, is somebody with me here? You cannot give up praying. Because when God says yes to you, it can be 3 days. It can be 21 days. So the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word, the word, give me that scripture. Every word. I love King James. I don't know how, some of these simpler versions, but do you have the scripture? Every word shall be established. That W-O-R-D is Rema. Rema. Every word. So in order to bring my family or my destiny into a phase that is significant, there are some indices here. Number one is that I must be a witness to the death and resurrection of our Lord. And that is the primary qualification there is redemption. The Bible says when he died with him. And when he rose, we rose with him. And Paul put an extra loop there when he said, I am also a partaker of his sufferings. So he must be a child of God. Number two is that there must be a rhema. A spoken word. There's something the Lord has put in your spirit. There's nothing the Lord has said to you specifically. And please let me just quickly throw this in. There is an assumption, especially among we Yoruba people. I don't know what happens in the South, but you know Yoruba people have a funny way of relating with God. Sometimes we live in self-deception. This is my left hand. It's called Owosi. It was the Yoruba people that said Owosi. I didn't say it. I grew up, they said, your left hand is Owosi. That's Owosi. But because Osi, Mama, has a bad meaning. That's why we don't shake with left hand in my place. Because if you use your left, it's like it's rude. It's like you are giving a bad sign or something. So we now rename the people, same people who said Owoshi, Owoshi, bad hand, are the same people that said Owa Lafia, which means the hand of peace. What do you want? There can be a quiet temptation for you to think that when God speaks, he must only say something that appeals to you. Are you feeling me now? There's that saying like, God doesn't say anything bad. It's always only good thing. And God doesn't always have to agree with you. Your mind is too small for him to agree with. And every time God speaks, he speaks from the future. So anything he says now, it's not about now. It's about 15 years, 20 years. And when the seeds now germinate and start bearing fruit, if you violated that word, prayer cannot save you again. Because the seed is out. The harvest is here. That's the problem with hearing God. That's the problem. Because everything God says, say my word shall not return void. So that word will grow. Whether you obey it or not, it will germinate. And the seed will bring forth something. But if you violated that instruction, because somewhere in your mind you feel God doesn't say anything bad. When that thing grows and matures, when the jungle matures, prayer, fasting will not save you. That's how God works. And you can read the scripture. This is why most people don't like hearing God's voice. Because God doesn't appeal to you. God speaks his mind. Say, my ways are higher than your ways. My thought patterns are higher than your own. But if you follow him, he will fight for you. Oh, if you follow him, God will fight for you. The Bible says, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every rhema, every spoken word, every word from the mouth of God, rhema means a word spoken in season by God, shall be what? So that means I need not just a spoken word, I need not just a rhema, I need a group of witnesses. Because what we are dealing with may not necessarily be something one man's anointing can undo. So instead of praying alone, why not tell your brother, come, next 30 days, let's sort this thing out. Tomorrow at the prayer meeting, I'm going to be focusing on reversing strange family patterns. Tomorrow. And I'm not saying this because, you know, out of, you know, yesterday was Papa Olukoya's birthday. Ah, Mommy Olukoya. Yes, the generals. Yes, yes, yes. As in the midst of judges. That means that what is going on here is a conversation in the court of heaven. Please pay attention to me. Please pay attention to me. This is the third time I'm coming to you. There's a court session here. Because the word established, if you look it up in your lexicon, it says to stand in the midst of judges. We are about to establish the truth as per your family. We are about to establish the truth about your destiny. There is a contention that has been raised about your life that somewhere in between you will be cut short. And now a case has been brought forth and we have three witnesses. Are you with me now? So when you are praying and you are going to God for your family, you must come in with your legal mind alive. You are presenting a case. Father, we are six in this family and there are four children here. Two of us are born again, spirit-filled. We are in the service of God. And we love God. Therefore, we make a case for the judgment of premature death in this family to be set aside. Are you with me now? How many witnesses do you need? Minimum of two. And this applies specifically if you are dealing with families or something. This will work. It's just like Ezekiah going to the Lord and saying, Lord, the dead cannot praise you. Isaiah said, I will die, but the dead cannot praise you. And God said, give him 15 years. It's not really a fantastic thing if you are the only one who is saved in your family. It's not a fantastic thing. Huh. And there are some people who belong to churches where they don't believe in praying with other people. Hello? So that one puts you in a more difficult position because everybody is born again. Everybody's doing his own thing. I said this is a court session. So what that means is that you can prepare your case for establishment. You can do what? You can prepare your case neatly and say, Lord, we don't want people dying at the age of 45 again. But you must bring forth your strong reasons. How together so far? So everything I've read to you, there are things that are happening in the spirit realm. But physically here, what you are seeing is that you are praying with your sister. You are praying with your brother. You are discussing what you feel the Lord is laying upon your heart as you are praying. But in the spirit realm, what is happening is that your case file is being brought forward. And judges are about to make a proclamation concerning you. And you go before the Lord and you say things like, Father, I have no one but you. I was nobody. You picked me up. Everywhere I am now, it was because of your guidance. But there is a curse in the land. There is a curse in my family that does not allow the children in this house to prosper. Father, I want to appeal. There are three of us, or there are two of us, two children. So I can form a quorum for two. Father, set this thing aside. And in case you have a challenge with finding somebody, if you have a prayer partner, that may be the best place to start. Are you with me now? So that's the first part of this meeting. Now, a lot of people are confused about the spiritual realm. But I want you to know that the spiritual realm, the heavens, Huh? Or the earth. The earth is the child, is a baby of the heavens. Everything you see today proceeds from the supernatural realm. That is why many times when some things begin to manifest, it becomes very difficult to combat. Some of you may know this, you know. Anytime you feel stressed in your body and you think you are suspecting it's malaria, some of you, if you go to bed and rest very well, the thing relapses, it just goes down again. Huh? Some of you have a very strong immune system. Then you come and be claiming that you are working in divine health. Instead of you to tell us that you normally sleep well. I prayed, I went to sleep. The thing just went. Response from the visa office today, you will not be able to sleep. Because for some reason, you no longer remember that he giveth his beloved sleep. So, but now you want to hold vigil. Meanwhile, the person that is supposed to send you the mail has gone to eat his lunch. He's not even thinking about it. You have so many mails to send, but you are just worrying. You are worrying, you know. So if you don't understand that anything you see physically here, they are products of the supernatural realm, you will not understand how the earth works. You'll be chasing a transaction that has already finished. I told you guys about a man who came from the UK. I think that was last year or 2 years ago. Came from and was staying around my house, speaking through his nose. He's a Yoruba man, but he was speaking through his nose. Then he asked one of us to help him, that he wants to get water. He wants to see someone. He didn't tell the brother he was going to see a herbalist. If you think that those who leave Africa have forgotten their roots, you don't know. They don't forget. They talk through their nose, but they know where their power base is. They got there, and the man, my brother said he saw House of Assembly members sitting on ordinary bench, dirty bench, waiting for Baba to come out. Nobody asked Baba if he has a certificate. Nobody asked Baba, did you go to Harvard? Somebody did not mind. He flew his way down from the UK and sat on the bench, dirty bench. He saw one of the speakers in the Southwest. Yeah, he was there. Everybody's waiting for Baba to come out. And when Baba came out, you see men packed with their jeep. Because what happened is that the moment the speaker, that particular man, when he got to a part, he told the driver to come down. He drove the car into the bush himself. Because he doesn't want the driver to know where he's going. Wait for me here, I'm coming. Go and eat. Take 2,000, go and eat. He went into the forest to see Baba. If you allow new media to deceive you about the reality of this earth, the moment Baba came out, see able-bodied men, people coming on camera say, we are going to make sure we fix this, it's going to be a dual carriageway, we are committed to free education for all our children, all those things they tell you. We saw all of them going on their knees. Yoruba people, men are supposed to prostrate, but all the men were going on their knees as Baba was coming out. Are you the one from Ogun State coming? I said, okay, you. That's how Baba was pointing at all of them. Baba did not go to school, but he's a master craftsman spiritually. It is those that know their God that shall be strong. And it's not just knowledge in the head. It's beyond that. My guy that came from the UK brought a brand new Samsung phone from the UK for Baba, bought a Nigerian SIM card, loaded it with lots of rich credit. So downloaded WhatsApp, installed it, did everything for Baba. As he was kneeling down, he was giving Baba wine with brand new. Baba said, I don't need all this. If I want to talk to you, I know how to call you. I can summon you. They can touch you in the spirit, and he's standing here, you are there, but he has touched you. You now leave that place feeling sick. Somebody touched you. Somebody is asking, yeah, okay. No problem. The Baba then knelt down and was begging the man to collect me, that I was here, that they stole my phone Christmas last year, that I was praying that God, do something, do something. Somebody bought a brand new. That man parted in the 2 weeks, 3 weeks, that he was going to Baba. I think he parted with, I think he gave that man, I don't know, maybe somewhere between 10 and 20 million naira. Also, the earth is a child of the heavenly. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, let's read that quickly. Genesis 2, 4. I'm telling you this because some of you are sincere, but you don't know how the supernatural realm works. Look at this scripture. These are the generations of the what? Heavens and of the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. The word translated generation, stay on this scripture, is the word toleda. And that word means a number of things, including descendant. Come on, are you with me now? The word generation means descendant. Something is a descendant. Something proceeds from a particular lineage. Are you with me? It means descendant. It means course of history. It means birth, to give birth. These are the birth. This, the generation there, birth, to give birth. Something is coming out of something. Are you with me now? Please, are you with me? It means family tree. That word descendant also means family. Family tree. So when you see, these are the generations of the heavens and the earth. What they are telling you is that the earth is a child of the heavens. Are you with me? Please, are you with me now? Hey, have I lost you? I'm taking my time to say so that I don't talk over your head. So please. So what that means is that if I need anything, I have to find out if there's a budget for it in the heavens, if it has been provided for. Huh? Don't force the hand of God. I think it was it on, was it Friday or something? Last week I talked about, is it Jacob and Esau? Did I talk about Esau? And did I talk about the birthright and on Thursday? Wednesday, spoke about God's plan was for Jacob to have the inheritance. And God also spoke to the mother and said, there are two nations in your womb. But did God tell the woman to help him? She got involved, prolonged the journey for both Jacob and Esau. Eventually, the brothers almost became enemies. That's the problem with trying to help God. That's the problem. You will prolong your journey. Once you have seen, and the Lord has told you, I will do this in your life, you have gotten the material you are looking for. That is what you are. That's the only point you'll be making when you get to court. That's the only point you are going to be making, not para, even if you don't want to do it. Hey. It has been written. Look and live. It has been written. So look and live. I said it has been written. So look and live. Don't go back on what God has already said he would do. Haven't you seen people that you know, and you met them in Lagos, and you know that by all standards, this person is better than you, or that you are better than this person. But when the level you found them, you knew that only God could have done that, because this person is not as smart as this. The earth is a child of the heavens, which means if I want something, it must first materialize in the spiritual level realms for it to become a material reality here. If I have not prayed through and received it there, because something may be a reality, but it may be located in a section of the heavenly places where I have not yet gotten to. So if I don't lay hold of it there, with, and how you know you have gotten it is that once you touch it, the heavens are obligated to give you a witness. Hey, are you with me now? I said the moment your hand touches that thing, the heavens are obligated. It's just like you getting an email from the visa office saying your passport has been whatever, we are returning your passport to you. All right? You get an email. The moment that thing has been sorted, you will get a notification. It's an unshakable witness. Because the scripture tells us that when the man comes to Christ, that he receives a witness in his heart that Christ what? Abba, Father. Which means that word witness is still the same word we have considered in the first scripture I read. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Verse 1. It's the same word witness. That is how you know you're a child of God. Not by coming to church. Not by water baptism. I asked a lady, are you born again? She said, yeah. I said, hi. I said, through water baptism. I said, where? It's African church.
Okay.
It's not even Church of England. It's African church.
Okay. No problem.
We are going to change the pool and move you elsewhere because I'm not sure your certificate will be recognized in England. So we have to, you know, so we laughed about it. So it's not by water baptism. Water baptism is important, but it's not how you know you are saved. Some of you are remembering the day you got baptized. How you almost drowned. Say, hold me, don't let me go. It's like this water. This water is very deep. So you need to understand the reality that there are certain things you can pray and get in 5 minutes. There are other things you must labor in prayers for. If, for instance, in your family, nobody lives beyond a particular age. First time is what? An occurrence. Second time is what? It's a pattern. And the third time is what? It's a foundation. If something has happened in a particular sequence, 2 times, you shouldn't be sleeping again. There are some of you that your parents had certain ailments before they passed. Maybe terminal ailments. But they are gone now. They are with the Lord. And you are not aware that this is the time for you to start praying so that that pattern will not be repeated in your own life. You just assume that, oh, because mama was 80 years, 84 when she died, it doesn't matter. Hey, the moment you have seen it, what Satan is saying is, I can bring this thing to your own generation. So what you need to do is to start praying and say, Father, I don't want this high blood pressure. I don't want this asthma. And you take time to pray it, quarantine it. There was a lady I prayed for, she was an SS. And what the Lord did for her was that he quarantined the virus in her blood. So even though she was SS, but she was living like an AA. If you check her blood, you see SS. But she doesn't have all those attacks and anything again. She's just okay. And there are others that were prayed for. The thing left completely. The heaven is the mother of the earth. Whatever you can secure in the heavenly place is your portion. And if you are quiet, there will be no record. Because the only way we know the appeal and the things you have, your prayers that you have presented to the court, is not through the letter. Because some of you write letter in your diary to God. God will not read those things. What God read is prayers. The one you say. Come on, are you here now? Okay, let me help you. You see that other one you are writing in your diary? It's for me and you. Me, I appreciate it. Then I can even tell God that she wrote something. Can you help her? I say yes. Okay. Say now that you have told me. God, see, it's okay. I know you have a love relationship with God. I know. But you must make a formal request in prayer. Formal. Prayer is a legal transaction. So do you know that you can come to court and the judge will throw you out? Even if it's your best friend. He will throw you, like fling you out. Because of the way you came. You came unprepared. Please, have you ever watched any of these movies? This like Suits and some of these, where the lawyer came in unprepared. You apart from Satan, you will most likely hate, the next category of persons you will hate will be an unprepared lawyer. I'm not joking. Because when you are in court, somebody's life depends on it. The judge doesn't have to know you. He will only look at the evidence in front of him. So, you know, emotionally weak and spiritually stagnant lawyers, when they're always filing motion to adjourn the case, they're always adjourned. They will adjourn until their own political party wins. You know that they are not ready to fight. Let's just be adjourning this thing. And when you're the other lawyer, say, no, we can't be adjourned. Say, okay, approve. Let's adjourn. Just be moving the case. They are not ready to fight. The way some people are saying, Pastor, it is well. We said, God will do it. God, you are adjourning. Until the day that trouble wakes up at night and your prayers, there's nothing in your file. When they open your file, there were no intercessions. There were no tears. We don't have a record of your consistent prayers along this matter. Along this matter, you prayed once and said you've prayed. You can't. Have you ever seen? Okay, well, for those of us who have worked in the corporate world, or maybe if you're a lawyer, sometimes you pick a person's file. The file is so. While I was working at the bank, customers have category. There are some customers, when you bring out their file, it's torn. We even have to open an extra file because it's the same company. It's like a company like every other, but the file is heavy. By the time you open it, okay, they changed this director on social date. They did this one. They filed this at CAC. There was this court injunction. They said they should put a restriction on their account. Everything is going into their file because of the volume of transaction that is going on there. But when they open your file, apart from the CAC document and your expired ID card, there's nothing there. Without checking the bank balance on the system, I know there's no money in that account. Yes. Yes. Wherever there's conflict, that's where your money is. Any destiny that you notice, there's back and forth, go and check. God is doing something there. You must have, when your file is open, there must be a register. The heavens must see that, but she applied for this thing to be withdrawn. She did it, so day. This one was a corporate prayer. This one was a 21 days fast. There should be a record like, please, I don't want to see this case again. Dismissed. They're dismissed. Because Jesus gave us that principle when he said, spoke about a woman that always comes in the dead of the night to knock on the window of the judge. I said, this woman, you are guilty. He said, I don't care. Answer me. She wasn't asking for food. She was asking for a right. One day the judge got tired. Guilty or not guilty, I don't care. Whoa. Madam, what's your name? Say, Marianne Uwanko. Boom. We will not wait for tomorrow morning. I want to release you now. In the middle of the night, dismiss. You are free. No case against you again. And Jesus was trying to describe something about prayer. That thing happened in the dead of the night. That woman was also answered in the dead of the night. Jesus signifying to us that the transactions of your destinies will be resolved in the night. There are things about your life. If you wait for the court to open their session, there will be too many people talking. People with accusations against you. Say, but come to the house of the judge at night and plead your case. And when they say no, insist. Keep banging. I will not go until you bless me. Sir, this woman is disturbing the whole neighborhood. I will not go. Madam, you have to go. I will not go. Give me my child back. Give me my son back. Give me my destiny back. Give me my marriage back. Where is my husband? Where is my wife? Where is my destiny? Where is this future? I saw it in my visions. Tonight, I want it. Tonight, I'm not taking no for an answer. Tonight is the night of Jacob's trouble. Tonight, my name must be changed. Tonight, not tomorrow. Tonight, and he wearied the judges.
Say, madam, I will not wait till tomorrow. What's your name? Give me Bairo. Mata. Apoporie. Acquitted. Bam. Put a seal. When they ask you, when did the court meet? Tell them it met. That's all that counts. It met. That woman came at night, signifying the hour of destiny. The way Jacob came at night and wrestled with an angel. There are some things, you see, there are some things that don't answer to the day. They don't. The night belongs to spirits. See, you have to be very clear about what you want. Because the problem is that some of us come, we just speak into a spirit. We don't even know what we want. Sometimes before you pray, take your pen, write out the purpose of tonight's prayer. 1, 2, 3. That woman came at night. She came severally. And as she came, it was being documented. Until they say, is it this woman? This woman will wear us out. What does she want? Say, mercy. Give it to her. Jesus signifying by this that it is possible to pray and move the heavens. The woman was not an apostle. She was not a prophet. She didn't have a ministry. But she knew how to pray. I say she knew how to pray. So the verdict of death and backwardness in their family could be set aside because the woman knew how to pray, not talk, pray. Not positive confessions. Not the universe is working for me this morning. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 24 to 30, very quickly. Matthew, I need to round up now. Today's message is I'm laying this foundation for tomorrow. So, Matthew 13, 24. I hope I didn't... My Bible is not coming off. Matthew 13, 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened. See, every time God uses parables like I say, it's likened. He's telling you that this same principle can apply to the earth because it applies to the heavens. So if you understand the parable, you have found one of the keys of the kingdom. Please, are you with me? Every time Jesus said it's likened, that means they both have similar environment. Please, are you with me? When Jesus said it is likened, it means if it works there, it can also work here. Please, are you together now? All right. He said it's likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. Please, what did he sow? But while men slept, his enemy. Please, for whatever it is worth, if you are alive and you can hear me now, that if you can hear me now, it means you are alive. Whether online or on site, there is an enemy apportioned to your destiny. Deal with it once and for all. Don't worry. Don't worry, we'll be fine. But there's an enemy apportioned to your destiny. And that enemy is tailored to suit your profile. It's custom made. He says his enemy is. Give me that scripture. His enemy. You only have one enemy. Oh. His enemy came. He waited for him to sleep. He waited for the moment of slumber. He waited for when men will say, well, I've worked so hard today, let me rest. The man came. You think Satan is going to fight fear? You don't know him. He said, why men slept. So not only did Satan calculate his tiredness, he ensured that there was nobody around him who would be awake to pick the level of discernment that the enemy is at your door. Any other person who could have said, bro, you need to be prayerful. He waited for them to sleep. you have no spiritual covering, you go to church the day you like, the devil will just, okay, it's even good. No pastor to see vision, no pastor to pray for him. This one will be, he's a lone ranger. You know, some people attend church like prostitutes. They go when they feel like they need something. They don't, they have no commitment, because for them, church is something, God is another. God is the head of the church. God is the pastor of the church. You cannot separate church from God. The same way you cannot separate your salary from your office. Because most people worship money. Some people worship money. And they, oh God, some people worship money. It's unbelievable. Even Satan is shocked. What you didn't sell from Monday to Saturday, Sunday morning you will sell it. You are a worshiper of money. I know they may cancel me for this, but it's okay. I'm building my website. So when they cancel me, I'll go there. His enemy came and did what? Please excuse me, what exactly did this guy do here? He went to that place you have been putting a lot of your effort. Looked at what you have done. Brought his own seed. We must finish this work this night. How did you sow your own seed? When you came into the place of prayer and you received revelation knowledge and you began to prophesy to yourself and speak over your life and speak over your destiny, because your words are seeds. So that's why I said many people don't have record in their file, because they have not really spoken enough to attract heaven's attention. So every time you prayed, Chapatuzea, Lakaba, Duzeba, and you began to speak and speak and speak and speak and speak, and you take an entire chapter from the book of Psalm or Isaiah and you start prophesying into your life, you are sowing seed, sowing seed, sowing seed. In every direction where you have responded to God in obedience, it's a seed. They put it in the ground, they put it in the ground, they put it in the ground. So when the devil comes, he says, this guy has walked to Shalele, Shalele, Shalele. Oof, earlier the better. 12 a.m. They will not remove your seed, because it is not given to him to remove your seed. But beside your seed, you put something there. You will always be depressed. You know yourself. Anything you do, you are the one that usually scatter at yourself. Come here. This is not going to, you will get that, you will not stay in your husband's house. Five marriages. You will not take rubbish tomorrow morning. When you get to the office, shout at the meeting and insult your boss. You are a lone ranger. You only trust yourself. You don't trust anybody. So tomorrow, cut off Ronke. Don't pay Pastor Gwenga's call again. If God told you the seed the enemy sow, you won't believe it. You would think it's one big thing. It's just isolating you, putting you in a tight corner, and telling you don't need anybody. He will sow those seeds, and over time they will begin to grow. I know those tears, they don't need rain, they don't need fertilizer. They just grow. If you are not careful, they overshadow even the crop itself. Give me that scripture. He sowed it among the wheat. It will bring a strange fellow into your company amongst you. You will just meet this new friend amongst you. He won't say, oh, this is the devil. The guy will blend in. This lady will blend in. She's not an unbeliever, but she takes Smirnoff. So you can't really judge her, because it's not like, okay, it's not really alcohol. It's alcohol. It's not really alcohol. It's just, it's not really bad. It's just a thing. I smoke, but I've not smoked for 3 years. Okay, not that you stopped. Okay. But I don't smoke, but my best friend smokes. Oh, okay. You see, the devil planted the seed amongst us. And while you are almost going to say, but this is not right, she will say, hey, did I tell you what God did for me yesterday? Hey, do you know it was God that saved me? You know, I joined one online prayer meeting in the morning. Do you know by the time I got to the office, there was an accident? A brother just pulled me off the express. In fact, this God is faithful.
It becomes extremely difficult to say this person is a tear. Because everything around him looks like the kind of testimonies that we also have. The rod of Moses looking like the rod of the magicians. Both of them are turning to snakes. As you are calling your Jesus, they are calling them and he's also answering them. See where? Only God knows those who are serving him. You know, these days you should not judge. They have gotten you. The moment you get to that bus stop, it's over for you. Give me that scripture. He said, he sowed the tears among the people. What Satan will do is plant certain things around your life. Put certain people around you. Put certain addictions. He will tell you are not getting addicted. Just, you know, as a man. Why will a man be taking coke? You're a man. Haven't you heard those things before? How can a man be taking soft drink? No. This, no. Please give him a 3-3 or the other one. When you go for your end of year party at the office and you are the only one taking minerals, you will not know the kind of shame that goes with taking malt until you go for your end. Oh, I know what I'm saying. Please, is there somebody who understands? Because maybe I'm looking like a mad person now. You are the only one not taking alcohol. The only reason they bought that alcohol is because they know it, that in that office you are the only one that will drink it. The devil's plan is not to be monitoring you. It's to put certain things around you. Because the Bible says when he sowed the tears, give him that scripture, he went his way. Once the devil is able to do his own job, he doesn't need to monitor you. These agents will do the work. How can you say you are a Christian? You say because you are in a relationship. You don't know the kind of person you want to marry. You don't know if you are even compatible. Please define compatibility. Define compatibility. Is it in terms of prayer life? Or finances? Say no, compatibility. Say, I don't know. Say, no. Stop behaving like you are not a child. You are 27. I'm not saying you should do something bad. But you know, you are going to marry someone for life. You should know what you are buying. You say no, the Bible says. But when she go, you now be saying, The seed is being planted. Rain is falling on it. It's growing. It's growing. And on a August evening with heavy rain, somebody is going to come into the house looking very wet and need umbrella or need to quickly change, and then the stage will be set. Don't forget, Satan will not monitor you. All he needs is access into your life to put those things around you. And most times, they will not be things that are so clearly defined as evil. Because everybody is sharing testimonies. It could be people, it could be movies, it could be anything. It could be a newfound passion, like buying clothes. You just realize, I want my clothes. They're like, I've not bought a clothes in like 3 years. I don't know. When you're going for that shopping, you will now meet the other seed. The person Satan planted to wait for you there. And then your ATM will not work. You will use this ATM to pay. It's not everybody that is concerned about the price of fuel. It's not a joke. Because a lot of people lost their spiritual edge because they started taking favors. The devil will not come and say, hey, how far will the seed I sowed? He knows the seed will grow because most people are carnal. Most people are carnal. He went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tears. Please, what did the blade bring forth? It brought forth
fruit. So God is contending for the fruit. He will wait for you. He will put a seed in your heart. You need to check what your children are doing in school. Some of them, God forbid, you know, well, that's what happened to some of us. Our parents could swear or rumila that we didn't know some of the things we knew. If they take them to the shrine, they will swear that my child doesn't know anything. But it was our friends, because my dad, you know, we lived in the university committee, all the professors and doctors, all of us, the children were together. That's where we're exchanging movies. And we only watch it when there's nobody at home. So our innocence was damaged at a very young age. Damaged. Because we were not supposed to be seeing what we were seeing. Damaged. And we started longing to grow up. Now we've grown up and we are getting B, school fees, everything. Nobody told us that part. So now we can't go back and become a child now, because Mr. Chaffee, your school fees for this term is 1.2 million. Say, what did I buy? Say, school fees. Nobody told you about that one. Satan set a trap for you with pleasure and entertainment. Don't forget, the goal of entertainment is to enter. Enter. Something wants to gain access into you. But if they tell you this is what we are giving to you, you will not take it. So they wrap it with pleasure. And the moment the fruit began to come out, the tears also came out. Those tears are those things that will now come. People say, are you sure she's saved? Are you sure she's born again? Are you sure this is it? I met a lady who said to me, she did not become wayward until she turned almost 40. As a married person, she, all through campus, she served the Lord. She was faithful to the Lord. She got married in that state. But as she is towards 40, she started hearing voices. So you only stay with one man. This is how you'll be. You don't even know what it means to be free. To do what you like. The thing, what she didn't do as a young girl, as a young lady, as a young woman, now that you are itching towards 40, the seed that was sown in the east started growing. Those things she saw her friends doing at the hostel, that she was saying, I'm going to fellowship. Those seeds started growing. They gave her over 20 years before they started coming out. So when we pray, this kind of prayer is not a prayer you pray and stop. You have to keep uprooting the seeds. Whatever, because when they sow the seed, nobody will make an announcement and say, we have sowed this kind of seed. Do you understand what I'm saying? No, but if you are not walking in revelation, you won't know how to pray. Please, are you with me? May the Lord open the realm of secrets to you. Amen. The scripture says in the book of Daniel chapter 2 and verse 19, if you have it, click quickly. Daniel 2, 19. Let me just read this one now. I will quickly, you know. Daniel 2, 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. If Daniel didn't pray overnight, he would have suffered. Because God will not tell you that don't believe, receive. Listen, I'm telling you that if you, what you are interested in is to dig into the realm of secret spiritually, it's not a day prayer, it's a night prayer. Go and check everybody who operated the realm of secret. Whether it is Jesus, who knew the thoughts of men, he was a person who prayed at night. Is it Moses, 40 days on the mountain? Is it Daniel? Is it Elijah? Go and... Who sold us this lie? That we just think by doing positive confession we'll be alright. He said, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel. Where? Did he say day? Night. Don't deceive yourself. In a night vision, Then Daniel blessed. Oh, when he saw what he saw, thine is the praise, thine is the power. God will give you glory. He began to praise God. That was the note of victory. But before the note of victory, Shabba, open my eyes. Let me see. Show me. Show me. Show me. Take the blindfold away. Show me. Show me. Open my eyes. This man was asking for permission to see the dream of another man. God doesn't bypass the will of men, but he did for Daniel.
Yes, yes.
This is Old Testament too. We've not even surpassed this one. This is Old Testament. This is not somebody shouting, we are in the realm of grace. This one prayed. Because Paul said, even though grace selected me, he said, I labored more than they all. Grace is amplified when you put in the needed work. Don't be lazy. I want you to enter a non-recoverable mode. That mode that once you enter your prayer life, once there is a matter that is threatening the peace of your family, you won't sit down in family meeting and discussing. You will enter your chambers. It's night prayer. Come on, say night. It's night prayers. That the owner of the farm asked, he said, did we not sow good seed? Isn't it amazing that what God did didn't stop Satan from doing his own? But the question I want to pose to you is this. If that man had sowed enough seed and filled up all the spaces, if he didn't stop the prayer on the seventh day but move to 21, there will be nowhere, because everywhere Satan tries to put a seed, he will notice something has been planted there. Keep talking. Keep speaking. Don't hold back. Every time you think you are tired, no, keep sowing that seed. Keep sowing that seed of prayer. Keep sowing your seed. In the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, do not withhold your hand. Keep sowing your seed. Seeds of prayer, seeds of giving, seeds of meditation in the word of God. Keep sowing those seeds. Seeds of fellowship. Keep sowing it. Keep sowing it. Keep sowing it. There is no space. See, there's no space. Listen, the scripture says to us in, and maybe this is my last touch, and I can pray. Let's take 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 22 to 28. 1 Corinthians 15 For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Next verse. But every man where? We are all children of God. But we are not in the same order. It's the effort you are putting in the accounts. The pastor who doesn't pray is in the order. The church member that prays more than the pastor is in another order. The apostle that is filled with hatred is in one order. The disciple that loves more is in another order. Love is the highest level. Give me that scripture. Afterward, Christ the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Next verse. Quickly. Then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom, even the Father, to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. I thought Jesus did that when he died. Jesus said, all power has been given to me. Yet he's saying that, go back to verse 24. Yet he's saying that, then come at the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom. There seems like there's still a kingdom to hand over. Everything God is doing on the earth now, huh, is what Jesus will hand over to his Father. Give me the next verse. I want to show you something. 25. For he must reign until. Now, maybe we should do a study on all the places in the Bible or in the New Testament where the word until was used. Huh? Until. That language is very strong. Until. There are a few scriptures that are very significant in the ministry of Christ that have that language, and they are very strong, both in the book of Psalms, in Hebrews, and this one. Said, until he must reign. Jesus must reign superintendent over the church until he has put all enemies. So when we get to the closure of the age, Jesus will join us and kneel and hand over the kingdom, all the papers, back to God, his Father. And then he himself will become subject. Go to the next verse. Next verse, 26. For the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Yes. Has death been destroyed? So when we get to this point, then we have gotten to where we are going. For he has put all things under his feet. Hello, hold on there. This word under his feet, this word feet, what jurisdiction does this fall under, Kenny? The church, the body of Christ. Please, do we need to prove that one? If you don't understand, tell me. Do I need to explain that one? Christ is the head of the church. From the neck down is his body. So when he said he has put all things under his feet, what he's saying there is that he has put everything under the authority of the church. All things. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under. Next verse. Oh God. Verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also, you see what I just said now, be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. The summary of this story or this poem is that there is still a kingdom to contend for. And you have a major role to play. Everything that is happening in your life now is to disqualify you from that race. Everything Satan is doing is just to disqualify you. So that even God won't be able to touch you from a mile away. That's all. Satan won't say God should not love you. He will sow as many tears as possible. You will now become a master craftsman in being able to live your life without God. You will become so wise in evil counsels that you can actually go 24 hours, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month. And some of you are already at that bus stop. You become very crafty in your human knowledge. You can actually live your life without God. And you'll be getting blessed. When Satan was going to deceive the first family on earth, why didn't he tell them to eat from the tree of life first? God never said they should not eat from that tree, from the tree of life. He said, don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you see, Satan is a master twister. Sometimes what you have heard, he will start trying to tell you you didn't hear it, that you are the one getting things twisted. But he is the one trying to deceive you. about that which God said. Because when God says something about you, it's not something with that your reality can achieve. It's not something your reality can achieve. You must learn how to insist. I was at a particular office last week. So when I got into the office, there was a problem, and I went to the IT department and I requested that they should help me to fix that problem so that I could complete what I was doing from my end. That was like 3 weeks ago. So they took down the details and promised they would do it that day. After 1 week, they didn't do anything. So I went back there a week after, which was like last week. So I went and I saw the folks at the IT department. And I said, look, I was here last week. You guys said, they said, no, that thing can't be done. I said, what cannot be done? You see, sometimes, that's why your knowledge of the word of God must be very deep. So when people tell you something cannot be done, you are already far too wise to know. Somebody wrote that program now. What do you mean by it can't be done? Say, I know we promised you, but it can't be done. We have to call the consultant. Which consultant? Some people talk to, they just, maybe because of the way some of us just dress, they just assume that maybe you don't know anything. There are very few fields that I've not studied or dabbled into, even if it's just for fun. Because even if I come for the meeting, I would have gone online, read a medical journal on that thing, read whatever it is, call some of my people, sorry, what's this one? I would just go down as my weapon. In case they want to talk over my head, I'll say, cool down. I know what you are saying. Even though I don't know it, I'll tell you my own. The guy tried to make me feel helpless. He said, well, maybe you should write. If you write, the office will take it up. That will even will send it to the country where the consultants are. I said, no problem. And I walked out and I walked straight into the head of that company, that department. I said, I want to see the person in charge. He says, not around. I said, okay, this is my problem. And this is what I need. Can you help me? He said, see this man. And I went there. I said, this is my problem. He said, what's your number? He said, what's your details? He said, it's there now. As he was doing it, the man who told me to go and write letters was walking in. And I stood up and I said to the man, I said, the Lord bless you. And I turned. If there's a man of peace, your peace will rest with him. If there's no man of peace, you told me to write. I will not write. I went straight to your boss and I got it done. That ability to insist, you must recover it. Satan will never tell you don't insist. He will just show you contravening situations, contravening winds. All of you just realize that it's like this thing is going from bad to worse. The moment you cave in, over. Like that woman today, I want us to insist. You are going to bang that door of heaven till it breaks. You are going to ask for the peace for your family again. You are going to ask that this sentence of premature death be taken away. You will not pray, you will bang. There are people that anytime they don't have anything they want to do, they will be having money. The moment they have a major project, you want to register for masters abroad or online or something, they will start looking for money. The day they are not hungry, seafood will be around them. The day they need that thing, they will look at your phone contact. You can't even point to three people who are millionaires. Listen, between this door and the next door you need to get into, there is a resistance. Paul said to us, the 1 Corinthians 16 talks about a great and effectual door has been opened unto me. Say, but there are what? Many enemies. There are adversaries. There are people, you see, because enemies gather around points of relevance. Enemies gather around areas of value. The enemy will not be on your case if there was nothing God has put in you. If you are an empty shell, you won't have spiritual, you won't need spiritual warfare. You are dead. You are gone. All this issue, Pastor, I don't know. It's my liver. It's my kidney. It's my head. It's my marriage. It's my this. It's because God is doing something in your life. But you know, the way the tears grow, they grow like wild plants. It's easier to observe the movements or the growth of a tear than the tender, gentle growth of the seed. So today, I really don't know how you want to pray. But Satan will not plant an evil pattern in your family. I said in your life, every agenda from the pit of hell to set not just an occurrence but a pattern, it will not be established. Rise on your feet, let's pray.